Today's reading is taken from Romans 6, the first 14 verses. It's on page 1132 in the church Bibles. 1132, Romans 6, starting at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that the grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into the death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be gone away, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death has no longer mastery over him. The death he died in sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign over your mortal body, so that you obey the evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument to wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And this is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Ken, for reading God's word to us. Now let's pray. Father, we come to you, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the relevance that your word has to us today. And our longing, our desire is may we see the relevance of your word for our lives today. And as a result of the reading of your word, may we seek to glorify you, O God, as we learn to live in Christ. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to start by sharing a film. Now, I apologize, firstly, for the younger generation, because this film is 30 years old. So for the granddads like me, it's fine, we remember it well. It's a film called Cool Runnings. Yeah, some of you know it. For those who don't know it, are not familiar with this particular film, it's about a Jamaican athlete who, for reasons beyond his control, is unable to compete in the track events at the Olympics, even though he was of the caliber to be able to. So he set about trying to find another way to get to the Olympics. Long story short, he settles on entering a team in the bobsled race at the 1988 Winter Olympics in Calgary, Canada, despite bobsledding not being a thing in Jamaica, principally because they have such little snow there. Now, the film is very loosely based on true events, The fact that a team was put in from Jamaica to the Winter Olympics, that is true. But there's much that's been added to the story to make it a nice story for us to watch and engage with. But you track the ups and the downs of their journey, mostly downs, I have to say. They cobble together a practice sled and on wheels, and they career down the hills of Jamaica in practice runs, inevitably ending in some spectacular crash, either in a hen house or in a police car or whatever it may be. And in the silence of the aftermath of the crash, as the dust settles, one of the team pipes up and asks another team member, "Sanka, you dead?" And he replies ironically, "Yeah, man." Clearly alive, but reckons himself as dead. And then they get to the actual event at the Winter Olympics in Calgary, Alberta, in Canada, and they're hurtling down the track at breakneck speed. And nearly at the end of the track, they crash. And as you watch the film, you hear the clatter of all the bits coming off the sled, and silence for a moment, and that same question, "Sanka, you dead?" He replies, "Yeah, man." Sanka then asks the question back, "Doris, you dead?" To which Doris replies, "No, man, I'm not dead." And he leads his team to walk the rest of the route of that track over the finishing line, carrying the bobsled, to the cheers and applause of the crowd. Why this anecdote? Is it because it's one of Tim's favorite films? No, it's not just because of that. This passage that Ken has read for us today deals with the irony of being alive physically, but dead spiritually. But then, because of the precious work of the Lord Jesus, we are made to be alive in Christ. We'll come back to it, hopefully, at the end if I don't run out of time. But these verses that we've read this morning are classic verses for a time of a baptism, because it explains so clearly for us what this is all about. And we'll consider that in these verses. But what I particularly want to get to this morning and to talk about this morning is about being alive in Christ. So this message is not just for Elena. It's for every one of us. That we might be alive in Christ. And what does that mean for my life, for your life, to be alive in Christ? The whole imagery of baptism, as demonstrated in this passage, involves death and resurrection. These opening verses make this very clear. Andrew talked about it for the benefit of the children and all of us, of what baptism means. And the physical act of being baptized, you pass through the waters of baptism as a symbolic act. Being baptized does nothing for you per se. It's just a symbolic act of what Christ has done and your desire to live in the light of what Jesus has done for you. Because we come to this point, we recognize that Christ died and was buried. And so similarly, going under the waters of baptism is a symbolism of that. That we have died with him, that we've been buried with him. The old self, the old Tim Bodman, the old Elena has died and been buried with Christ. Why? Because we've offended God. We've broken his rules. We've disobeyed the very one who created us. We've shown independence in so many ways by saying, "I'll do it my way." The Bible describes that as sin. But the Bible also reminds us that God appeals to us to come to him. You go back to what God says through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "Come now, let us reason together. Even though your sins might be red like scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow." And it's that appeal from God that he wants to converse with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to demonstrate, maybe to you this morning, his absolute love for you, that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die in your place, in my place, so that we might be made clean before a holy, righteous God. But what did we do? We said, "No, I'm going to sort out my own mess. I got myself into this. I'll sort it out. I'll read more. I'll do good deeds. I'll memorize verses of the Bible. I'll even memorize chapters of the Bible. And that'll set me fine. That will get me into heaven. That will please God, surely." Sorry, my friend. None of those things in and of themselves will get you into heaven. None of those things will give you peace before God. Friend, if that's you this morning, if you find yourself in that place this morning, I appeal to you, come to Jesus. When he died on that cross 2,000 years ago, he paid the penalty for all the things that I have ever done wrong. And you can include yourself in that. When he died on the cross, he paid the penalty for the judgment of God against your sin. He paid it. Done. Complete it. And so my appeal to you is, come to Jesus today. Acknowledge that you've failed him and you've done wrong, that you've broken God's laws, and ask him to forgive you. He surely will. There are dozens of people in this room that will give you testimony to that fact, that will share from their own personal story how God forgives absolutely and completely. And you need to recognize that the only way that you can be forgiven by God is because Jesus took your place and paid the price for your sin. Because Jesus took my place, stood in my place, and bore my punishment from God. And as you come to realize that and acknowledge that for yourself, experience real peace in your life. The peace of God, which the Bible tells us passes understanding. And my longing is that everyone in this room today will know and experience that peace of God as you get right with God and enter into his family. I did that 40 years ago, and I have never looked back from it. Praise God. Not because it's me, not because I've done a good job in following Jesus. He's kept me on that path, trusting him and following him. Elena's reached that point. And even that point, that next stage of that point, you might say, in committing publicly to the Lord Jesus and saying, "I know the Lord Jesus, I love the Lord Jesus, I want to follow and serve him, and I'm going to do this public act that he's requested to acknowledge that fact." In that moment that you realize that all this, all that I'm talking about is real, is true, that moment that you realize I need to do something about this. You might be physically alive. I'm taking the assumption that everybody here this morning is physically alive. But up until that moment, you're spiritually dead. You're far from God. But God has worked from his own side to make you alive in Christ. As you accept the Lord Jesus, as you accept what he has done and that he's done it for you personally, so God makes us alive in Christ. To be physically alive and spiritually alive. And what Elena has done, and what others will continue to do over the coming months and years until Jesus comes again, God willing, we'll have another one of these in 4 weeks' time. But what Elena has done today is symbolic of that transformation. And that's what these opening verses of chapter 6 deal with. By going into the waters of baptism and significantly going under the waters of baptism, we recognize that just as Christ died and was buried, so also the old sinful self, the old Tim Bodman, the old Elena, has been buried with Christ. But hallelujah, we don't stay there. Because just as Jesus was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, as these verses put it, so we are raised to newness of life, to new life. And that's what I want us to focus on for the next few minutes, as an encouragement to Elena, but to all of us, that God has called us to live differently. This is not a case that I accept that, yes, the Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he did it for me, he took my sin, and now I'm going to carry on walking, doing what I do, and pleasing myself. What these verses teach us is there is a transformation, that everything about us that was true before is different now. That where I was dead spiritually, I'm now alive in Christ. And that's the position that Elena is in. That's the position if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've accepted the work that he did on the cross, that's the position that you're in. And the challenge for us is to walk in the light of that, that we are alive in Christ. And because we're alive in Christ, he's called us to live differently. No longer responding to the desires, the wants of our sinful bodies, but living for God. Verse 9 gives us a reason. It says, death no longer has mastery, or death no longer has control over us. So verses 12 and 13 say this: do not let sin reign in your bodies. It's an interesting word that Paul, the writer of this letter, uses. Don't let sin reign as king in your body. And don't obey its evil desires. Don't offer any part of yourself as an instrument of wickedness. But, and here's the antidote, here's the contrast, here's the beautiful instruction for us in this passage. There are two parts to this instruction. Rather, it says, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And secondly, offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Why? Well, here's the reason in this passage. Because sin shall no longer be your master. Or in other words, sin will no longer be in control of your life, because now you're under the grace of God. So, Tim, does this mean literally every part of me, every part of my life? Yes. That's what God's word says here. You mean in my body, I'm to honor God in all that I do? Yes. In all that I say and the decisions that I make, am I to honor God? Am I to live in the light of being alive in Christ rather than going back to the dead old practices of sin? Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes, and yes. But what about the broken bits of my life? What about the hurts that I carry? The confusions of different parts of my life, my history maybe, the pain of rejection and traumatic experiences. What about all of those, Tim? What are you going to do with those? The instruction here is clear. Don't let sin be your master and have control over who you are and what you do. Use your body and every part of your life for the glory of God, for his service, for his honor and praise. The decisions that you make, motivated, governed by your love and your devotion to the Lord Jesus because of all that he is and all that he has done for us in saving us, in transforming us from death into life, from transforming us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. This is what my Savior has done. This is what I trust your Savior has done for you. And this is my appeal to you today, that if you've made that decision, if you're in that position that Elena's in, that you've made that public confession that you belong to Jesus and you desire to follow him and serve him, if you've been in that place, then live it. Don't keep going back to the old things. Don't keep going back to the sinful habits, the sinful ways, but live in the fullness of the life that is in Christ. As I mentioned earlier, I've been doing this for 40 years. Have I made mistakes? Have I got things wrong? Have I stumbled? Yes, of course I have. But you get back up because you remember that we've been made alive in Christ. You don't stay in that place of death. You don't stay in that place of sin and wallowing in the discomfort of where you are. You look to Christ. You look to him. And you remember these words in this passage, that yes, once you were dead, but now God has made you alive in Christ. And so you seek by the power of the Holy Spirit within you, by looking to Jesus, the leader, the completer of our faith, you seek to serve and follow and honor him in every way. All of this prompted by the truth that our life, as another scripture puts it, is now hidden in Christ. That we have this wonderful hope that Christ is living in us. So here is my challenge for Elena, but for every one of us. Let us remember and hold on to the fact that Jesus has done the hard work. He's done the heavy lifting here, if I can use an expression that we're familiar with. By, as I've already mentioned, by transferring us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of life, by moving us from that place of death into a place that we are alive in Christ, he has done it all glory to him, because of his precious work on the cross 2,000 years ago. But the responsibility for us is to walk in the light of that truth, that we are alive in Christ, the decisions that we make, the things that we say, the places that we go, the choices of life that we make, are they governed by my choices? I'll do it my way. Or are they governed by the truth that God has made us alive in Christ? That we're no longer relying on those dead practices, sinful practices, but we're relying on the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit within us as he points us to Jesus. I remember many years ago when I was a child, we learnt that song that some of you might be familiar with. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. Oh, be careful, little eyes, where you look. Oh, be careful, little eyes, where you look. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, where you look. And all the other things as well. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. And it's about us making conscious decisions to follow Christ and to live in this area that he's brought us into, an area where we are spiritually alive. We cannot do it in our own strength. It is only by the power of God's Spirit within us. But our desire as followers of Christ should be to live in all that he has done. Let me come back as I close to the film that I shared with you earlier. Sanka was physically alive, yes, but he felt dead. You dead, Sanka? Yes, ma'am. Doris, at the end of that race, he was physically alive as well. Did he feel dead? No. And it was demonstrated by his actions, by what he did. He was running the race. And so he encouraged his fellow teammates to lift up the bobsled, and they would walk that last 100 yards or whatever distance it was. And they walked the rest of the track and crossed the finish line. If I can use that as an analogy for what I'm talking about here from these verses. Sanka was physically alive, but he was still spiritually dead. He was feeling dead. He was in that place where he was not enjoying the fullness of life that Christ has for us. Whereas Doris, at the end of that race, he was physically alive, but also he had purpose in his heart. He knew where he was going. He was on a journey, and he was going to continue that journey. So he was in that sense. And these illustrations, they always fall short, so bear with me, would you? But in that sense, Doris was alive in Christ. He was alive spiritually. His desire was to continue to run the race, come what may. And my longing for you is that you might have a desire, that I might have a desire day by day to continue to run the race, living in all the fullness that Christ has won for us. The truth that I am alive in Christ. But I want to appeal to those of you maybe here today who have not made that decision that Elena's made. That you don't yet know Jesus as your own personal Savior. That you've not made that, you've not prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to forgive you for all that you've done wrong. My appeal to you today is you have an opportunity right now. Please don't put it off any later. We don't know what's in store for us the rest of today, let alone the rest of this year. And my longing, my desire is that you might come to know Jesus today. And that you might experience what this writer, Paul, is writing in this letter, that you might experience what he's talking about and be transferred from death into life. And that you might know what it is that Jesus has won this for you, that you might be alive in Christ, alive in every possible way. Jesus talks about it in John's Gospel, doesn't he? About living life to the fullest. This is what it's talking about here. That as we come to Christ, as he changes us, as he transforms our lives, as he makes us more, the Holy Spirit makes us more and more like Jesus, so we live life to the fullest. And my desire, my longing is that you might experience that. And that as you take that step and experience that, maybe for the first time today, that you will continue to run the race. Why? Because you're alive in Christ. Because the Holy Spirit is within you, empowering you, leading you, guiding you, directing you on towards the goal that we have in heaven. Please don't waste this opportunity. None of us know what opportunity we might have. But God's presenting it to you today. He's handing it to you on a plate. The work's done. Jesus has already died. You don't need to do anything else but trust him, believe him, ask him to forgive you. And my longing, my desire is that you might respond to that today and make him your Lord and your Savior. So I'm going to give a couple of moments of quiet just so that we can consider that. If you're not yet a believer in Jesus, consider in this moment responding to him. If you're a believer in Jesus, no matter how long you've been walking with him for weeks, months, years, or even decades, would you consider following him more closely and knowing what it is to be really alive in Christ? So that governs and shapes your decisions and your choices. I'm just going to leave a moment of quiet and then I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that he is. We thank you for all that he has done. When we were helpless, we couldn't help ourselves. Christ died for us. When we were far from you, God, when we were doing things our own way, Christ died for us. And I pray, oh God, if there's anyone in this room this morning or watching online that has not yet made that decision to follow him, to put their trust in him, would they come to him today? And know and experience your love, oh God, your forgiveness for everything that we've done wrong. May we know your peace and your joy in our hearts as we come to this great truth of what it means to be alive in Christ. But help every one of us, oh God, we pray, that the decisions, the choices, the things that we say and do, that everything about our lives, every aspect of our lives might be governed by this truth that we are alive in Christ, no longer under the mastery and slavery of sin, but we are alive in Christ. We pray this and ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.